Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nanga Def. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Grand Rising, and thank you all for joining us on this Thursday morning for Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. I'm Naima Latif, your co-host, and we'll be joining in a moment with Dr. Debbie Green to give you another free counseling session. You get an opportunity to address those issues that are affecting your life in a way that you may not realize. Do you know how to manage your emotions or your EQ, or do they get the best of you? Emotional intelligence is the ability to perceive, use, understand, manage, and handle emotions. Being that emotions are the strongest energies in our physical being, at times they can get out of control if we lack self-awareness. You can become emotionally hijacked and lead an impulsive life, or you can live a well-balanced life in control of your emotions. Well, join Dr. Debbie Green to discuss this matter and learn about the critical subject that can save a life or destroy it. Being in control of your emotions is often a life and death decision. I think I was recounting the story that the pastor of a church that I work with each Sunday was telling an experience he had with he and his wife as they were driving down the street, and a young man was crossing the street. And you know how sometimes people don't really pay attention to oncoming traffic. Well, the man was crossing the street and almost got hit by another motorist. And this motorist was driving a very nice, expensive car. So the man that he almost hit had an attitude about almost getting hit. And so he spat on the car. Well, this car circled around, you know, drove into the parking lot, circled around, and came up on the man, and they saw where he pulled out a gun on the man. And so this man, you know, seeing he was about to get shot, picked up a rock like he was going to throw it at the car. You know, and of course, the church pastor, he said, he screamed, "No, stop, put the rock down, you're about to get shot." You know, just trying to energetically stop this tragedy unfolding before their eyes, because of course if the man in the car had shot the gun, he could have shot them and injured or killed them as well. So it just so happened the man with the car and the gun drove off, and the guy with the rock put the, you know, put down the brick that he had, he was going to throw, and the situation didn't unfold as it could have. But just think of the lack of emotional control showed by both individuals. The reason why what we saw was something that could have been a tragic death of several people or even injury of several people because someone got mad because they, their own fault, not paying attention, crossing the street, almost got hit. So being able to control your emotional responses is often a matter of your life and death and someone else's. But the important thing is to realize that you are in control. You make the determination as to how you're going to respond in a situation. No one else makes you do what you do. No one else makes you say what you say. No one else controls the expressions on your face. No one else controls your tone of voice. You control all of these things. And so if you are out of control of the things that you are doing that's affecting other people or creating a response in other people, then you're going to live a life that's out of control. You're going to always see things happen and experience things happen that aren't what you want. And you're the one that causes this response in your life. You're the one creating this. You're the one making this happen. You're the generator for all of the events that you experience. So if you can take responsibility for your emotions. Not someone made you mad, but you chose to respond with anger because you did not understand how to control your emotions. And it's a very basic issue that we're seeing played out everywhere. We constantly talk about gun violence and what needs to be done. But the decision to use violence to address whatever your discontent is an emotional decision. And people speak of doing background checks before you allow someone to buy a gun. But truly, it isn't necessarily people who have a record. So we're going to join Dr. Debbie as she speaks.
This is Dr. Debbie Green with Social Solutions this morning. Thank you for joining me. We have a very interesting topic. It is going to be What is your EQ? What is your EQ? You know, we talk about IQ, but what's your EQ? So we're going to, that's emotional intelligence quotient. So just join in and take a seat, grab a cup of coffee, and let's chat.
Yes. Grand Rising.
Good morning, good morning. How you doing?
I am fantastic. And how are you this wonderful
night? I am fantastic too, running a little behind, but guess what? It's like.
Hey, well, you know, whatever time it is, that's the time it's supposed to be.
That's right. That's what I always tell myself.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, we've been having a nice little chat with our audience about the fact that you control how you respond in situations. And if you are out of control of your emotions and you overreact, who do you blame? You can't say someone made you angry. You chose to respond with anger. And no one controls the expression on your face. No one controls your tone of voice but you. So when you are out of control with your emotions, then you're always going to experience an outcome that you didn't want. So we have to choose to control our emotions and direct them in a positive way. And I was just telling a story, I'm sure I've told it on another show, about a young man almost got hit by a car, and then he spat on the car, and the car circled around, and the guy pulled out a gun, was going to shoot him for spitting on the car, and so he's going to pick up a brick and try to throw it at the car, and the person telling the story, the pastor of the church that I work with, he was saying, no, stop, because, you know, he's seeing this tragedy unfold in front of his eyes, and then it just so happened the car decided to drive off, and the man decided to put down the brick. But that could have ended very badly. And it all comes down to someone responding emotionally over some little incident that really was an accident. But how many times do we get upset, and how many times do we interpret things that someone does unknowingly as, they disrespected me? And so we get all emotionally upset because it's triggering a memory of a time when we felt that we were disrespected. So we keep bringing up that same emotion every time something happens when it's not even appropriate.
Right, right, absolutely. And we have to understand that emotions is energy in motion.
Energy in motion.
So as we shift our energy, Naima, we shift it out from an inward place outside. Inward, outside, and when it remains unshifted, it becomes dangerous.
Yes.
Emotions have to always stay in movement, because when it becomes stagnated, it turns into different things. For example, if you're stagnated and handling your anger emotion, because we all have an anger emotion. Some are mild, some are moderate, and some are, you know, are severe. So if you don't know how to manage your anger, perceive your anger, and respond to your anger, what happens is it starts to get what they call emotionally hijacked.
Mm.
So, and you get emotionally hijacked due to the fact because you cannot control your own being. And it's not, and most people shift blame. We call this displaced anger emotion.
Mm.
Oh, you are the reason why I feel the way I feel. I think the way I think, I'm doing what I'm doing. So now you're telling someone that they have the ability to move, change your being.
Mm.
They have the ability. So when we get angry at things or people or whatever, you know what I'm saying, and we get frustrated, we don't realize that's what we're doing. If I'm blaming you all the time because of my actions towards your actions, that means I'm giving you power over me.
Yes.
You know, in retrospect, that's what that means. Of course, people don't understand it that way, because remember what I just said. If you don't perceive your anger, and we're just talking about the angry emotion. We're not talking about guilt, shame, despair, all of these other ones. You know what I'm saying? So, but we're just talking about the angry emotion. The angry emotion turns into different things as the rest of it, because it is a deep-bedded energy emotion. energy type of field.
Mm.
And if you don't control it, what it does, it starts to manifest again in different things. It goes from, okay, we got the stages of emotions. Let me do that real quickly. You go from mental to what they call physical, okay? You have a thought, a feeling, and then there's the action. Okay, let's get that out of the way. So the thought is, oh, she made me so angry because she didn't pay me back her money. I'm just giving an example.
Mm-hmm.
So that goes into, you know, discord. So now I feel some way about her. I don't forgive her. I don't like her anymore. I think that she is not honorable. I think that she's disrespectful. I mean, all these things are just going through my mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say if she comes and says, oh, I'm not paying you nothing, even though I know that I owe you money, but I'm intentionally not paying you nothing. Now that energy in you is counterplotted, which means now it's about to expand.
Mm-hmm.
Because now do you not only feel disrespected, you feel taken advantage of. So now that angry emotion then becomes what they call slightly hostile.
Ooh.
Now, if you are one of those people who don't know how to handle your emotions, you may suppress that thing.
Mm.
You know, you may get hurt by it. You may go inward with it and don't say anything to her anymore. Just stop talking to her. That's what a lot of people do. Or you may do the opposite. You may just blurt it out, call on the phone, oh, I'm coming to your house, blah, 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 blah.
Mm.
If you've been suppressing for long periods of time and don't know how to manage your emotions, you're already impulsive, then you may take it to a whole level. Oh, I want to kill you.
Ooh. Wow.
Do you understand what I'm saying? So now it goes from irritation, agitation, frustration, anger, rage, of course, unfortunately, self-destruction, which is murder.
Yes. Wow.
Well, that's why your EQ is so very much. Most people are like, what, the IQ? No, that's your intelligence. That's your ability to deal with not just life, but academic.
Yeah, reason, you know, logic.
Yeah, you know, those things on the outside of you. But what's going on the inside of you?
Right.
Being
and when you
manage that.
Yes, and when you become emotional, you lose your intelligence. You use your logic. You're not thinking.
That very word you said, logic, logic. So what happens is you then are moved. You make choices and decisions through your emotional mind. When you make choices through your emotional mind, you're not using your executive functioning of your frontal lobe, which is your cerebral cortex. You're not using that. Your limbic system, it's called limbic, L-I-M-B-I-C.
Limbic, yes.
That system right there is on fire.
Mm.
It's on fire. So your thalamus, all the stuff that emotionally controls you from your brainstem now, okay? I didn't even get to the heart yet, Naima.
That's a whole nother thing.
You know, but from the brainstem area, that area right there, you become emotionally hijacked. I'm talking to the audience right now. Have you ever had an issue where you get so upset that it feels like you can't come out of it?
Mm.
I mean, it's like it goes on and on and on.
Like it's never going to end.
Thoughts are rolling in your head, you know, waking you up at night, frustrating you during the day while you're even working, you know? Okay, you've been emotionally hijacked. Let me tell you what happened. You was emotionally hijacked because of that situation. You put so much energy into that. Energy meaning worrying, overly concerned about that situation. So your brain adapted to all of that energy that frustrates you, and it actually created something. Okay? It created a whole list of thoughts. It created a whole list of feelings. So that's what our brain does. It compartmentalizes things. So when it's compartmentalized, then it continues to keep you in that car until you shift. Now, if you don't know anything about shifting, as long as you stay on the show here for about an hour, you're going to figure it out. Okay? You got to know how to shift out of your emotions. You only got 45 seconds to do so.
Ooh.
long period of time, people. If you want to look at your time watch, your phone or whatever, and you see how long 45 seconds is,
yes,
it'll be enough time for you to get up, go, get you a drink of water, and sit back down.
Yep.
That's
you got time to think.
That's
yes.
how long it is. So what am I saying to you? Why must a person get so angry when they cannot control themselves? Because they never tried.
Yes. They think they can.
Emotional. They just think you have emotional-minded people and you have logic-minded people, but we're supposed to be balanced, which is going to give us a wise mind. And you should know your EQ. You should know what stresses you out. You should know your triggers. You should identify yourself of like, okay, when I'm too emotional, when is that time when I become too emotional?
Yes.
When do I lose my balance and my emotions? Do I have a perception? Am I aware of when this happens? Or does something really bad happen first?
Mm.
You know? This is a self-monitoring, self-aware technique that I want to give you today. And if you find yourself being more emotional than most, it is because you're not monitoring yourself. Mm. You have to monitor. Monitor is being able to know when something is triggering you. If it's trigger is just what it is. That means it's moving you so emotionally that you feel so overwhelmed that you may lose control.
You know, I have friends who, for whatever reason, they pride themselves on having an explosive temper. Oh, girl, when I get mad, I cuss folks out. I mean, you know, they're proud of that. And I'm trying to figure out, why are you proud of being out of control and destructive when you get angry? And I see that, I've heard that often, you know, people kind of bragging over the fact that they've got this anger, explosive temper, they're destructive, they hit people, they're liable to beat up somebody, cuss them out, pull out a gun, you know, all kinds of stuff, and they're probably like, oh, don't make me mad, you know, I mean, like, why are you proud of the fact that you lose control of yourself and become self-destructive? That's not something that you want to promote and encourage. And, you know, do you think that will make people fear you? What is that? Have you heard that kind of talk where people will really be kind of proud of the fact that they have this other side of them that loses control?
Absolutely, and most people think that is, we call it boisterous pride, or I pride myself on protecting myself, and anybody else that wants to step on myself or try to hurt me, I'm going to let them know that they don't have that kind of power. Now, most of these people have been in disputes even early on in life, so in their mind, that's what they feel they have to do to survive.
Survival. That it's a survival.
Because I've been hurt before. You would never hurt me again.
Mm.
I'm not gonna do this. And I don't care what you say. Whatever I got to do to let you know that you're not gonna hurt me ever again. And even though you're like, huh?
Yeah, like
I didn't want to. I didn't want you to go to store with me. That's all I told
you. Yeah.
That's all I said to you. Then you get all upset because you don't have no emotional control over yourself.
So is that where people are holding on maybe subconsciously to a memory of something that hurt them and they're constantly responding to that memory? That's why their emotional response is sometimes inappropriate for the situation, but they're not really responding to that situation. They're responding to a memory of hurt, and they're still trying to prevent that from happening, even though it's not happening right now, but I'm responding to something that happened maybe 10 years ago, and I'm still acting as if that is what I must protect myself against. Is that what that is?
Well, actually, it is the autopilot that's responding, which is the subconscious.
Mm.
See, the conscious world is based on reality only, so which means that if it was a past event, it has to come from the... If you're reacting from a past event, people, it is your subconscious mind that's reacting. not your conscious mind. Conscious mind's eyes wide open. I am making decisions. The blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's eyes wide open. But if you immediately react without thinking, it is a subconscious state.
Mm.
Autopilot. That's what I call it.
Mm.
Autopilot. You know, like the planes, like the like, you know, where the pilots are flying the plane, and if they're no longer there, they hit that button and say autopilot.
Yeah.
That's what happens. Is you, it, any type of pressure, if it is like not managed now, okay,
mm-hmm.
if they don't manage that EQ, any type of pressure will hit that trigger, and you go in the autopilot mode.
That's interesting. Yeah, it's time for a break. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak. If you're on our switchboard now and have a thought you'd like to share or a question you'd like to ask for Dr. Debbie, please press 1 and we'll open your mic and you can share your thoughts. And we'll be right back after this quick break, so stay with us.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our hosts. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
Hallelujah, greetings in the spirit of Wayo and Yah Shalom. Wayo means we are one. Yah is Hebrew sacred name for God, and Shalom means peace. I'm Evangel Mamadi Love Yah Nubian, and I'm inviting you to join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Wisdom with Mamadi. Call in number 515-605-9325. Wisdom. Women in support of daughters on motherhood preparation. And spiritually speaking, men who do the will of Yah are mothers too. As a Montessori educator, author, activist, international award-winning poet, and ordained minister, females, I want you to say farewell to all things, seen and unseen, that prevent your potential. You bring forth life and give birth to babies. A kid is an animal beast with four legs. A child is a human being person with two legs. Facts can change feelings, but feelings cannot change facts. A mother teaches love. Love is the arm that reaches out and holds people, places, and things together. That's what Wisdom with Mama D is about. Join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Call in 515-605-9325. To share your wisdom and love souls into shape. Remember, mother's farewell. If you don't, your child won't. And if he doesn't, society is abused. Females, you are global transformers with the power to change this world. Use it.
You did well.
And our wonderful topic is, do you know your EQ? Do you understand your emotional intelligence? And can you control and manage that? Because there's enough people out here in the world that are really struggling managing their emotions, as you can see. So it can go from 0 to 100 very quickly, but the goal is to be able to acknowledge, perceive, manage, and control. Because if you're out of control, if you're impulsive, I'm just here to tell you, you're not going to have the best life. You are not going to have the best life. There's enough people out here that's doing that, so we don't want to join them, okay? We want to be some of the humble people and understand you will feel upset. You will get frustrated. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying manage the frustration. How do we manage that? How do you manage your stress that's causing your emotions to get overflowed?
Yeah.
Some stress is necessary. But when we have all the stress that takes us out, that puts us in a place where we call it excessive stress that interrupts our eating, interrupts our sleeping, okay, that's the problem. That's the problem. So all your emotions that you feel, all of those things, that's what I'm saying. Do you have control over yourself when it comes to your emotions, dealing with people, places, and things? Because believe me, if you're lacking any control in any of those areas, it's going to change your life. And it's not always for the better. So I want to talk about several things about emotional hijacking. This is when one suppresses feelings, suppressing and oppressing and, you know, causing depression. It's mainly because you are not allowing yourself to speak. You're not self-advocating.
Mm.
You feel when you get upset, whenever that time comes, you just shut down. You don't talk. You don't answer phone calls. You think that's the best way to handle life. No, it isn't, because you're not self-advocating. Your voice is your area of your being that frees your heart. Did you know that?
Say that again. Your
voice.
Your voice
is the area that frees your heart.
Is the area that frees your heart.
Free.
Wow.
Free.
So when you don't speak what's in your heart, what happens to the energy of that? It's bottled up.
It turns toxic.
Ooh.
Yes. Let me explain. Out of the issues, let me say it this way, because I don't want to be really having a lot of medical terminology, so I'm going to make this very practical. And this is also something that you've heard before. Out of the heart flows the issues of life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So the issues of life has energy to it. It has words. It has thoughts. It has actions. It has feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, what a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's the word of God. And God says that because the heart has emotional intelligence. It can cipher through life emotionally. Not mentally, emotionally. The brain is the one that ciphers through life mentally. Okay? So, Vita, we're talking about our EQ today. All right, most people think that the brain is the one that controls all the emotion. No, it doesn't. It manages it.
So I have a question. I have a question. I had an incident, or actually a number of incidences with someone that was close to me that I unknowingly offended. And they didn't speak it out to me, but they spoke it to other people in a way that I heard about it later, and it was repeated to me in a way that was damaging to me emotionally. And my thought was, if this person was not willing to speak their concern to me directly, I don't know out of what was it, not wanting to hurt my feelings or just maybe afraid of how I was going to respond, then them speaking it to someone else, even though it might have freed them, but end up being damaging to me. So just speaking it, if it's not spoken to the person where your feeling can be rectified, that to me seemed more destructive because it was like a dishonesty. And so then I had an emotional reaction because people were repeating what was said in a way that was hurtful. Whereas this person, if they could have spoken what they felt honestly to me, we could have resolved it and it not become publicly discussed.
Right.
So what are your thoughts on that? When someone, maybe you're afraid to say to someone what you feel, but then you say, well, I got to vent at somebody. So then you say it to someone else. How should people handle that? I guess maybe it's a fear of what the other person may do if you tell them, but then if you tell someone else, you've created, you know, gossip and other kinds of things that end up having a ripple effect. So what would you advise for somebody who doesn't know how to speak to the person that's affecting them, but they're speaking at other places? How should they address that in themselves?
Okay. Well, first of all, I have to say this right here. Self-honesty is an extremely important factor in that question because, first of all, you have to have self-honesty and self-respect in order to express yourself openly to another human being, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So most people have problems in that area, okay, and they don't like conflict. In other words, they don't know how to deal with conflict.
Mm.
So what they do, instead of them coming directly to the person that they felt that the issue was said,
mm-hmm.
what they do, they'll go through someone else,
mm-hmm.
and that person, they get it all distorted because they ain't going to come back the right way because, remember, the honesty comes from the person that has the issue with the other person.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll get it straight from the horse's mouth. If that person will say, hey, I think we got a disagreement, blah, 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 you know, coming to you assertively, okay? Now, everybody, again, people have problems with confrontation. So what they do is they go through a side door. They go through that side door, which is whoever that person is that might be close to you. Well, you know, so-and-so said this, and they did this, and I didn't like that. So-and-so knows you, too. So then they come back, and we call that gossip.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we come back around and say, well, so-and-so said this and said that. But guess what? It's not the same wording.
Right.
So it gets all distorted. So what should a person do after getting that secondhand information? Because that's what it is. It went through the originator mouth to the secondary mouth back to you. Okay? So if you are assertive, if you know how to deal with conflict and also honestly with yourself, you would then say, let me sit down and think about this. Think. Now, because most people respond emotionally. How dare she talking about me, blah, 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 blah. Okay, now you just got emotionally hijacked. That's what happened because you didn't allow your executive functioning, which is slow down, process that thing. Okay, so wait a minute. Why she saying what she saying? Why she didn't come to me? So most people do this. And, you know, it's funny that you asked that question because I just had that to happen to me. So this is what I did. Now, this is what I did. This is my opinion. That doesn't mean that you have to do what I did. But this is what I did. I then, once I got that information, I went back to the originator. And I said, not what they said per se, you know what I'm saying? But I want to know what is the issue. And if you didn't understand what I was doing or say, let me tell you. Because I got it from another person that told me, and then they didn't explain to me why you said what you said or did what you did. They just told me the outcome of that. So it was a two, it was like a half story.
Right. Piece is missing.
Yeah, but it's always like that because remember, the originator says that, then it goes into the mouth of a secondary person, then it's coming back to you. So you ain't going to get the whole story. And I didn't. So once I went back to the originator of the issue, you see what I'm saying? Then we had this conversation and we on even ground.
Mm-hmm.
So one should not get emotionally upset before learning the truth
right.
of the matter. That's what it is.
Right.
Because if you heard it in a secondhand information, there's 100% that you didn't get the whole story.
Right, right.
It's going to get twisted in there.
It gets twisted somewhere.
And if you have a problem with conflict, because a lot of people don't like confrontation.
Yes.
They'd rather ignore you, stop answering phone calls, stop talking to you, instead of...
Well, that's what happened when I attempted to go back to the originator of this whole thing. They stopped answering my calls, which caused things to escalate because now it's like, okay, you've said this awful thing. It's been repeated to me, and that person who repeated it to me, she also repeated it to other people, and I'm trying to get to the bottom of exactly what was said, but now you're avoiding me, which gives me the impression that you must have said this awful thing, and now you can't face me. So, you know, that, and like you say, some people can't handle confrontation or they fear whatever the response may be. But it can't, my thought is, if you're afraid of confrontation, it might not be because of what this person has done to you in the past, but maybe what someone else has done to you in the past when you've been confronted. And so, like you say, your subconscious is responding to a past memory of a very unpleasant confrontation that you're avoiding. So your whole pattern of behavior is to avoid confrontation based on that past memory of when a confrontation was very unpleasant, maybe even violently so.
Possibility, but again, not only that, that person may not know how to deal with life assertively.
Mm.
So what they do, they tend to always go through the second hand, always, you know, go, what I call it, throw the rock and hide the hand. You know, it's like, you know, that's, and it's due, could be an upbringing where they didn't have a voice, they didn't have anyone to listen to them. They wanted to say something, but they were ignored. So now they have built up this defense mechanism. Oh, I don't have to talk to you if I don't want to. I don't care about what you think. I'm going to say what I want to say. Because now, you're not emotionally sensitive due to your upbringing.
Now, I had another associate who was they were very friendly and pleasant when they were sober. But when they drank a little bit, then they would say mean things.
Oh,
and I've heard the saying, a drunk man speaks a sober man's mind.
Mm-hmm.
So is that a case of, you know, your brain chemistry has been altered, so maybe the usual barriers that you put up to guard your tongue are not there, and then you say things that perhaps when you are sober you would not have the courage to say. So what is that when people drink and then they start saying things that they never say when they're sober? What is that?
Well, we know that to be liquid courage.
Mm.
You remember, again, if a person does not have self-honesty, it's harder them to be honest with themselves. So what they do, they hide behind things. They hide behind people. They hide behind drugs, alcohol, or whatever the case is. So when those things are evident and when they're right there, you know what I'm saying, there it goes. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what it is. It's liquid courage. Because one thing about alcohol, and alcohol is usually the only substance that does this. It's not cocaine or meth. But alcohol is always that. It allows all the self defenses to dropped the frown.
Mm.
So now that person is like, I'm just going to let it rip. You know what I'm saying? Whatever I'm feeling, I'm just going to tell you whether you like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, and really, those are originator, when I say originate, which is that original feeling, that's a truthful feeling that's coming out of that, that's a truthful thought that's coming out of that person. When a person, that's what they do. Some people do that when they drink, they then come into a truthful area. And then some people, you know, they don't drink, you know, saying they get brutally honest. Have you ever heard that before?
Mm.
Okay, we're still dealing with emotionally. When you get brutally honest and you just come out and burn out things and you don't care how it hurts people's feelings, you're just going to say it, okay? That's because you've been hurt so much to the point where you don't even know how to put a cap on your feelings.
Mm.
So you think like this, if I can go through it, they can go through it too. So this is unfortunate when it comes to parents raising children, okay, because we find this a whole lot of times that parents get brutally honest with the child. For example, you tell a child, okay, you know, make good grades or whatever, you know, and you're expecting that child to make straight A's or whatever. So here comes the situation that your child brought home a C. So your brutally honest self, I don't understand why you didn't make an A. Oh, you just, what is it? You know, you wasn't studying, you didn't do this and you didn't do that. You know what I'm saying? You know, they use everything else and they say, you're not even going to call them stupid, but you're using all these other words to describe what they're not. Instead of saying, oh, it's okay, little Bobby, guess what? You know, you do better next time. Let me help you study. No, you go start beating the child down. Because you're brutally honest, emotional self.
So, okay. So what is it inside of a parent? Because I have seen, experienced this kind of thing where, say, a child is failing a class or getting low marks because they're struggling with something. And the parent will get angry at the child, maybe even punish them with physical punishment, beatings even, because they're struggling in class. So is the parent looking at the child as reflective of them? Oh, this child is not intelligent, or is a reflection of me? They're my child, and if they're flunking, that means they're saying that I'm stupid, or they come from someone, and I must be defective because I'm producing an unintelligent child. You know, how dare them disgrace me this way, presenting me as less than capable as a parent. So therefore, I'm going to punish them for disrespecting me by failing. I mean, what is the mindset of a parent that punishes a child for struggling in school? Because I see it all the time, and it makes no sense, and yet I see it all the time. What is that? Why are we doing that?
Because of their upbringing. Let's keep it real. It's because of their upbringing.
Mm.
They, when they were a child, they were reprimanded very similar in the same way. So that's what they do, all right? If a child is struggling in school, you need to find out what the root cause is, not the topical or surface cause, which is why is that child struggling when you know that this child was smart or had straight A's, and then you start seeing a decline. Okay, something's going on. And it's most likely something dealing with their emotions. They've been hurt. They've been despondent. And they felt low self-esteem. Something is in that area that's causing this to happen. It is not because the child is shiftless and does not want to. It's because something's going on with that child emotionally. And we know, if I can just say this really quick, the black male between the ages of 13 and 17 have problems with their anger emotions. And if they are not able, are not taught to control that, what it does, it turns into criminality. And that's a whole other show for another day. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is when you were talking about, you know, why does a parent reprimand a child for not, again, making good grades, it's because they think that this child can do it and they don't want to do it. So in their minds, they're going to force the issue.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take away your phone. I'm not going to let you watch TV. I'm not going to even let you eat no food. I'm not going to, oh, yeah, they'll take away meals, too. I've seen people do that.
That's pretty horrifying.
You ain't eating today.
Yeah, you can't. You couldn't get a decent grade. You don't get no food.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
horrible.
Saying, right? So what does that do for the emotional part of that human being? I'm talking about the child.
Wow.
What does
triggers
it do to
more
the child?
Frustration, rage, and
anger.
Yeah.
Anger. And the anger. Guess what? Because they have no self advocate, which means they can't speak it. Mama, I'm angry at you because you think so and so and so and so. Mama's like, oh, no, you don't. You ain't talking back to me. No, why can't I just express to you what I feel? So now the emotional part of that human being gets suppressed. And you want to know why your children could be walking landmines.
Wow.
People create themselves as a walking landmine.
Yes.
Starting at early ages.
Yes.
And you say, oh, they're so quiet. Oh, I don't have no problem with them. They're so quiet. That's a problem. A child should not always be quiet. They should not always be quiet. You think your child is good because it's not saying anything and just doing exactly what you tell them to do? No. That means that child does not have a self-identity. Careful. You're taking the self-identity. You should be able to listen to that child. That child should have a fluid ability, flexibility to speak openly. Daddy, I don't like that. Mommy, that doesn't make me happy. Blah, blah, blah. Whatever.
And
Do you know why it's so important?
Why is that?
Because if they're not speaking, they're suppressing.
So, and what happens when they want to express that they don't like something and they're not allowed to not like this thing that they're trying to say, look, I don't like this. This doesn't make me comfortable. This doesn't make me happy. I don't want to do this. And they're punished for their honest expression of how they feel. What then happens? What does that create inside of them when that's the response to their honesty?
To never express themselves openly to another human being, it influences suppression.
I can't trust people. They cause me
right.
pain
that's
when I'm honest.
That's the first thing that's going to happen. The trust issue is broken. Then the next thing, low self-esteem, low self-worth. Because only a person that has self-esteem and this honest, healthy, you know, wholesomeness, self-esteem, is going to speak openly for itself. You understand what I'm saying? I don't feel this. I am that. But if you don't feel about yourself this way, it's because you've been suppressing. Suppression causes us to not self-advocate. And it causes the emotions to rupture. They rupture like big, to express it, it's almost like if you got a balloon full of air and you're taking a needle and you're hitting it and it explodes inwardly. It's not outwardly. It's not outside because remember, you're not self-advocating. Self-advocating expression, self-expression. I feel this. I think that. Whether a person likes it or not, this is what I feel.
Wow.
I'm not being harsh to you. I'm just telling you the honesty I have in my heart. Because what I feel in my heart has to come out of my mouth.
Yeah.
It's coming from my mind. It's coming from my heart because that's where the issue is.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, we got to take another break. When we come back, more with Dr. Debbie Green. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak. And if you're on our switchboard now and you have a question for Dr. Debbie Green regarding your emotional, was it the EQ, your emotional quotient, is that it?
Yes.
Emotions,
right.
EQ. Your EQ, your emotional quotient. Give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1. We've got a caller on the line. And those who are on the switchboard, please press 1 if you have a question regarding your emotional quotient. And have you had to swallow your emotions out of fear? We'll be right back after this quick break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be right back after these quick messages. So stay with us.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
About finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down to earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul, whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
To and watching.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Viata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Cry some more. And that, over time, you know, I got control of that. But the memory of being ridiculed for expressing emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Debbie, I'm about to cry. I can't believe this. That was so hurtful. And I think
yeah.
That's still a part of me.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when you ridicule someone? Good thing I always keep tissue handy. What happens when you ridicule someone? Okay, you're being an Oprah now. people start crying on your show.
Okay.
What happens when you ridicule a child for expressing emotions or, you know, crying because that's what's inside of them, and then you won't allow them to cry? What happens over time to that emotion or that ability to express emotion?
Okay, are you talking about the person that is feeling that emotion due to the fact of feeling ridiculed? Or
yes, you know, when you express emotions and then you're ridiculed for expressing your emotion, so you learn not to express an emotion, but you still feel what you feel, whatever pain there is.
Gotcha.
But you're not allowed, but you learn to suppress it. So what happens to you over time? How else might that end up manifesting?
Well, usually one thing about suppressed emotions, I got to first tell you what happens with it, okay? Suppression is one of those things, there's several things that's operating here, all right? First, it is the oppression. Oppression is the ability something is coming from the outside inside.
Mm.
Okay, it could be words, actions, whatever, of people, things of that nature, okay? So in this case, it was, you know, like you said, emotion. Your emotions were sensitive because you were an emotional child. There's a good chance that when your mother was carrying her, she's carrying you, she had to have been going through some emotional moments in her life. Because this is utero. It's intrautero, okay?
Mm.
When a child comes out emotionally, usually it cries all the time. And it's not always because it has colic. It's because that's how it expresses itself. Remember, self-expression is through sound. It's through words. Mm. It's through action, right? Okay? Fast forward. So as that child continues to grow, comes to life, or born, okay, they're still the same human being. You know, they're still emotional. And emotion doesn't mean that they are weak. It's just that they have an ability their heart is the biggest part of them, okay? Mm-hmm. Which means you have some people are ruled by the mind. You rule by the heart, my sister.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. There's nothing wrong with being ruled by the heart. Matter of fact, it's a good thing because a lot of people are not. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are ruled by the mind. The mind is very shiftless, easily to distract, and easily to become self-destructive.
Mm-hmm.
But the heart is in a place that either knows how to love or knows how to hate. Mm-hmm. There's no gray shaded area in the heart. You don't tell somebody, oh, I think I love you with all of my heart. No, I know I love you because my heart feels that thing. You see what I'm saying? The mind is the one that's unsure, indecisive, shiftless, things of that nature. That's why we're always supposed to make a conscious choice with our conscious mind, because if it was ever been damaged from childhood due to reactions, impactions of other people, like you say, not knowing that we are sensitive. A lot of parents don't know they have sensitive children. So what they do is they'll tell them, oh, you can't do this and you can't do that. That's not right. And then when the child is expressing itself, what do you mean? Be quiet. Sit in the corner. Sit down. But you just told me that I wasn't these things, right? So what am I supposed to think? I'm either not those things, and then that hurts me because I'm trying to satisfy you because I'm already codependent. I think if I can't satisfy you, then I don't satisfy myself. So I'm going to grow up in life doing the same thing. I'm going to grow up in life being that person. So what I do is I'm moved by my heart. Okay, just a few minutes ago when we were talking, I was telling you how the heart has the ability to free oneself.
Mm-hmm.
Because out of the issues of life, right, flows out of the heart. So whatever issues have, whatever thought process you experience is in your heart.
Mm.
That's where it is. Mm. So what does the heart do? The heart weeps, my sister.
Wow.
It weeps.
Wow.
It weeps. It weeps. You have some people say, I ain't cried in years. That's a problem.
Mm.
That's a problem. That means your heart has not expressed itself. It hasn't sent a signal to your brain to let things go. You're still holding on to stuff. Emotional baggage is dangerous.
Mm.
It's dangerous. So your ability, your heart filters. It goes upward. It tells your brain, you know, and like you said, you in your mind, you may say, oh, that thing hurt me, right? But look at this one. Guess what? At least you have self-awareness that you had pain.
Mm.
You know how many people don't have self-awareness that they have pain?
Wow.
And they swallow that thing. And they don't do nothing with it. They don't self-advocate. They don't do nothing. And here comes some other stuff, and they swallow that. And keep swallowing until their being's like, oh, my God, I can't. The heart expounds, can't take anymore. And then it starts sending all of these chemicals to the brain. The brain starts releasing chemicals of adrenaline in the body, then turns into cortisol, then turns into free radicals, which is called stress radicals, causing sickness.
Mm.
Do you see how we are connected?
All because we won't express
suppression.
What's in the heart, yes.
You take your voice. You got angry, you didn't say nothing. You think that's healthy? No.
Mm.
You got sad and you didn't say nothing. No. Say what's on your heart and say quickly. And the reason why you say quickly is because if you wait days and weeks and you hold on that thing, it's going to fester. So when it does come out, guess what? It's going to come out at the wrong person.
Ooh.
It ain't going to be to the person that hurt you. It's going to be to the person that just came and said a little bit of something to you. And you will squirt it all out.
Mm.
Emotions, remember I told you, it's like a big balloon, right?
Mm.
So whatever's causing pressure on that balloon, it's just going to explode.
Wow.
It's either going to do it inward or it's going to come outward. Outward, rage, hostility, violence.
Mm.
Now, there's another side of this story I need people to know, because I don't want you to make emotions all negative. No, there's a positive side to this. But suppression is the one that causes it to become toxic. Now, let's say you are advocating healthy, healthy advocate. Healthy advocate is just voicing your opinion calmly, humbly about something you don't agree with. It's not that you don't like it. It's not that you do like it. You just don't agree with it. You know? You don't agree with it. And you don't agree with somebody's actions towards you. So, you know, most people get angry, and they, again, they stop. Either they go blurt it out or they go suppress it. But if you don't agree with something, excuse me, I think we got an issue. I don't agree with what you just said. I don't agree with what you did. And can I tell you, is it all right for me to tell you what I feel? Oh, no, I don't care what you feel. You don't have to. I said, okay, so let me understand you correctly. You don't want to talk about it. So if that's your choice, if that's your final choice, you don't want to talk about it, you don't want to be done with, you don't want anything, but you don't want to talk about it, you don't want me to say a word. Is that right? Okay, I understand. So guess what? You leave me no other choice but to do what's best for me.
That might be to stay away from you.
You leave me no other choice because it takes two to communicate. So
yeah.
If you don't want to communicate with me, what do you want me to do? I'm not going to sit like baby in the corner and be quiet. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to suppress. Because if I suppress and don't say anything to you and you keep doing what you're doing to me, who is to blame? Is it me or the suppressor? You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
No, it's because I did not take the charge. So, again, I'm going to go back to what you asked me. When you say, what is it that, you know, causes a person to react that way, what's the longevity effect? Again, emotionally, see how that emotion right there? When that emotion rises up, that's a hidden issue that's deep down in yourself that needs to be finalized, so you know. Emotions let us know, because the heart holds on to things. And they, it can hold on to things for years and years and years. But the minute you talk about them, it's going to bubble up and say, hey, up there, I got something down here. I got something in here that ain't been resolved just yet. So I still got something I need to release and make a decision to release that thing. So that's what the heart is telling you when you feel welding. That's called welding.
Mm.
Like you don't even know the tears just fall. You're like, oh, my God. What is that?
Where'd they come from? Yeah.
It's called welding.
Mm.
Welding. I call it, you know, it's welding. Welding is when the heart is communicating with the brain to let the heart know it still has some issues. That's what that's called.
Now, you mentioned specifically young men, maybe between the ages of 13 to 17, and what happens if they're not able to express their emotions. It can turn into anger, criminality. And I'm thinking also that's the age range where they're going through a lot of biological changes, hormonally and all of that. But there's no outlet for that. There's no way they can talk about it. There's no place for them to talk about it or express it or to be understood. It's condemned. It's like, you know, I remember being condemned for my emotions.
Right.
So and I know how that feels. And for a young man, I can imagine that if you're not allowed to cry when you're hurt, you're not allowed to shout when you're angry, you're not allowed to say, I don't like this, I don't like this classroom atmosphere where I'm being made to feel inadequate and subject to ridicule if I don't understand something. I don't like being made to feel inadequate as a person. That hurts me. It makes me angry. You're not allowed to express any of that. What else do you have beside that suppression of the hurt that comes out at the wrong way, at the wrong time, the wrong person? And then, you know, you take all that suppressed emotion and you give it a voice by giving it a gun. Okay, I'm going to express what is inside of me through this act of violence.
Right.
And I feel this is what we're seeing, the outcome of suppression of emotion and not allowing young men to say what they feel and be respected for how they feel, especially in environments where they're put, it's almost like a setup to be humiliated. that's what a lot of our school environments are. I've seen it. You know, everything, when you, like you say, you shouldn't always be quiet. Sometimes you need to be able to express, but if your whole environment is telling you, you need to sit down and shut up and listen and repeat these things that don't interest you at all, and if you can't do it, then we're going to humiliate you and make you feel like an ignorant, stupid, unworthy human being. So everyday humiliation in that environment we call school. And you can't express what might even be going on in your private life at home that's hurting you. My parents got divorced, or my father won't come see me, or my mother called me ignorant and ugly, you know, or whatever's going on and you can't talk about it, there's nowhere to talk about it, then you're in a place where you don't want to be, you can't talk about that. What else do you have other than suppressed hurt, anger, and emotion? And what does it take, one little thing, for it to explode?
Well, that's just it. These are the outcomes of life, though. Again, upbringing from the child, we're dealing with so many factors. That's a loaded question, Ayma. You're dealing with so many factors. It's not one thing. It's not one thing.
Mm.
You know, it's several things. I mean, over a period of time. From a child, you know, a man child. Listen to it, because you're talking about a male child.
Mm-hmm.
A man child goes through suppression even in the womb. You got to understand, this thing goes all the way back, even before his mother was even born. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
It goes all the way back. So suppression is real. So when a young black male has problems expressing itself, it is due to the point because it has never self-advocated.
Mm.
It never was given the opportunity to self-advocate. It was always told what to do, how to do, when to do it, how long to do it. That's it. Okay, we know that now that is not the right way to raise a child. Because of
some
the codependency lifestyle that people are doing, we were told that, we were taught that as children, that we're supposed to sit down, be quiet, not say a word. That's a good child.
Right. One who will not speak up for themselves.
But then, guess what? That didn't work when the child was abused sexually, did it? It didn't work when the child was verbally assaulted. It didn't work.
Mm.
It didn't work because, guess what? Because that child was told to sit down, be quiet, don't say nothing.
Mm.
So now that child does not express itself when something's wrong.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Again, we didn't teach our children self-advocacy.
Yes.
And that's a problem. Now
that's
we're dealing with a generation that does not know how to speak about itself other than using an object.
Yes.
Oh, bang, bang, shoot 'em up. This is what I feel. I've
yes.
been feeling this way for years.
Yes.
I've been suppressing this for years. Bang, bang, shoot up. I don't even know how to handle my emotion. I'm totally impulsive. I'm a walking landmine. You say too much. You look at me too hard. I want to kill you. Because I don't know any other way to do it. I don't know any other way to express myself. I have no man. I can't manage my relationships. I can't manage my emotions. I don't know. I don't have a perception to know what my stress level is. You know, I was never told that I would amount to anything. And even if I did, I still couldn't satisfy them. I tried and tried and tried because I don't even know who I am. I'm just a walking, breathing, do something person.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? So emotional intelligence is extremely important for those who have young children between the ages of 5 and 17. You need to listen to your children. Let your children have a voice. It may not be something you want to hear, but guess what? Whether it's negative or positive, you need to hear it.
Yes, yes.
Because the worst thing to do is not hear your child, and then your child goes out and commits a horrid act. And you're like, oh, my God.
Where did that come
know.
From? Yes. And we see that every time some young person.
Know they were upset.
Yes.
All I know, they were always in the room.
They were
so
quiet.
Yeah, they just came from school and went straight to the room. They didn't have no friends over.
Mm.
You know, all they did was stay on the iPad or the phone. I didn't know that this was happening.
Yes.
That's a problem.
Yes.
That's a problem because you didn't know, because you didn't listen. Yeah, because you didn't listen to yourself. You didn't have no voice for your own self.
Mm.
You figured, okay, I don't have a voice. You don't have no voice either. How can somebody teach a person to self-advocate if they didn't,
learn it? Absolutely.
Let's get that caller, girl.
Yes.
That caller's been waiting for me.
Yes. Well, we're going to take you all in this order, 336-350 and then 312-671. If you're on our switchboard now and got something to say, press 1, please, so we can come to you and get your thoughts. And if you are listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1. And if you are watching us live on Facebook on Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green, then you can write in your comments, and we'll display them on the screen and share them with our listening and viewing audience. So we will first take 336-350. Go right ahead with your question or comment for Dr. Debbie Green. 336-350.
Can you hear me, Dr. Lateef?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, indeed. I'm here. Greetings,
Dr. Debbie Green. Oh, my goodness. You know, I kind of tuned in late. I'm on another chapter of my journey, and I'm going to do this without boo-hooing. I'm so grateful for this show, and greetings to your listening audience in Grand Risings. You know, yesterday, family, I got an eviction notice when I got back to the facility from Sedona last week. And I prayed about it from my apartment. Let me get it clear. From my apartment, not from the facility at Devon Gables, but from my apartment. And it kind of like weirded me out, but the Creator, my spirit said, take a chill pill. Everything is in divine order. To make a long story short, I was guided to go to the person who's in control of this building that I reside in. I'm here back in Sierra Vista for a little while organizing. And what you're saying, Dr. Lateef and Dr. Debbie Green, I could see the man's face in my mind. And he had not too much to say. He says, I sent you the letter, and you know you got to be back in your apartment on the 25th, and what else is it that you have to say? Whatever it is, you say it and be done with it. And everything that you're saying, both of you sisters, I'm seeing this man. Yesterday, I went to see him, but he would not allow me into his space, meaning his home, his office is out of his home. And I'm looking at this man was abused. And Dr. Lystra said to me last night as they were helping me unload the vehicle to bring things into my apartment. She said, he's a familiar with the group that hassles you here at this complex. And I looked at her. And as you both were talking, that person, Mr. Murphy, they all have issues with alcohol. They all have issues with parents. They all have these issues of not being heard. And that's what I see as you're both expressing this information from the gentleman who said, if you're not home by the 25th, I'm going to take you to court and throw you out. That's deep. And it makes me sad. And the last thing that I want to say especially to ones who look like us, Pody people. When you hear the term Pody, that's a Baha'i term. It means the pupil of the eye, black people, melanated people. We need help. Run to the Dr. Greens and so on and so on and so on. We need therapy, people. The church is about freaking money and their 501(c) and fattening their bellies. Even if they look like us, they're not about helping us mentally to eradicate, to restructure our DNA from all abuses and all the cells and everything that's harboring this shit. I mean, this, anyway, family, we must run to the Dr. Debbie Greens. We must run to the others who can counsel with us. And I can go on and on and on. I'm not. Thank us, Dr. Green. Thank us, Dr. Lateef. I appreciate it.
We appreciate you, Mother. We'll keep in touch to make sure we get you through this challenge with ease. Yes, we thank you so much for calling in and sharing an update on your story. And she's got a profound life that she's living in order for her to be the profound human being that she has become. And I'm going to go to a break and then come back. And we've got 312-671 and 312-336 on the line. So hold on, people. We will be right back after this quick break. And if you're listening online, you've got another 20 minutes or so before we go. Give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1. And we'll be right back after this quick break, so stay with us.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me, for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Oh, here we go.
co-host, Naima Latif, my executive producer of The Female Solution. Okay, let's go ahead and take that call.
Okay, 312-671 Grand Rising. Introduce yourself to our listening audience and give us your question for Dr. Debbie Green as we take a look at emotional quotient. Go right ahead.
Weyon Yashalom, Mahua, we don't die, we multiply. Black power forever, and black is beautiful with you all sisters as the twins. You all are twins, and we are in it to win. This is your brother, Minister Robert Floyd Trump, again. And we are sharing that
Mr.
opportunity
Tom,
with you today.
You,
you cannot
fantastic.
Hear me?
Tom, I have a question
yes,
for you.
You all are the 23 kings. I mean,
yes.
Y'all
you know what?
Everybody's different, but you're like Oprah Winfrey. You know, this is the greatest show that the world need to hear, the Female Solution. And I'm so glad that I had an opportunity.
We really
you.
Appreciate you as one who is so loyal in all that you do, and you have learned how to express yourself very well. I have a question for you. When you were growing
yes,
up,
ma'am.
And I know you were back in the day when a lot of, you know, black men were suppressed, what was your experience in being allowed to speak your mind, especially if you were angry about something? If you didn't like school, you know, as a young black man, say between those ages of 13 and 17, what was your experience like? Were you allowed to say what you felt? And if not, how did you learn to be so expressive now where you are able to, you know, speak your mind now without fear?
Hallelujah. Yes, well, I thank you for this opportunity, Sister Naima Latif and Dr. Both of y'all are doctors, you know, no doubt. And you all are seriously a part of the solution. However, you know, when I was a young buck, as they say, I started out with Emmett Till, keeping it real. My father and mother them didn't want me to go to the funeral. However, I sneaked off and went to the funeral anyway. And then by the time I got between that age of 13 and 17, I was involved with the movement, the struggle, the movement, and the coalition, which my grandmother, she didn't want me to participate even in the movement. But I made them become aware that I had to participate. So I organized the Mississippi Student Union. I was a part of SNCC with John Lewis and Stokely Carmichael, which is known as Kwame Ture. And also, you know, we introduced Black Power in Greenwood, Mississippi, back in 1965 with Kwame Ture, which introduced the Black Panther Party. I'm just so glad that I just, you know, went from there to Chicago, from Mississippi to Chicago to Washington, D.C. with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And also with Mayor Harold Washington saying we must trump the whole community. And as a result, we tell everybody this.
You know, Minister
yes,
Plum, what you're saying really gives us an understanding of how so many young men were able to divert that energy of anger into something constructive with those organizations. We got four more callers that want to get on now. Thank you, Minister Plump. You have
yes.
just really opened the door for us to see how we can perhaps help young men who may be angry and self-destructive channel that energy into something that is helpful and addresses the problems and creates solutions as opposed to them being self-destructive. And he's been instrumental, as he said, in organizing many of those movements that gave a voice to some brilliant people like, as he mentioned, you know, Stokely Carmichael, who became Kwame Ture. If you don't give a voice to the anger, it does become self-destructive because the emotion is felt. So thank you so much, Minister Plump. We appreciate you for sharing the history of your life. We're going to go to 312-366, and then we've got 863-816, and then 997-801, and then we're going to end up with 773-737. So hold on. We're going to get to everybody. So, you know, be mindful that you've got some other people. So if everybody can kind of take no more than 2 minutes for their comment, then we'll be able to get everybody in. 312-366, give us your name where you're calling.
Good morning.
Yes,
good morning. I'm calling from Chicago, Bronzeville Community, Dr. Lateef and Dr. Debbie Green. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Loud and clear.
Okay. Thank you. I just want to say this, I want to just say this, that God is about to do some great things out here in our city. I want people to pray. I may be running for mayor. I may be running for mayor. And also I want people to pray for Beverly Miles. She's the first black female governor of the state of Illinois. If she wins, she was fought on to stay off the ballot, but God allowed her to stay on the ballot, and she's running against a billionaire. And I wanted to say that we're going to just keep praying for her. I've been praying for her for the last 6 months, and we want God to, you know, people to pray for me to make the decision, because I know that the word of God said if he be lifted up from the earth, and that he will draw all men unto him. So I want everybody to know, all women to become celibate and saved, healed, and delivered. I want all women to know that they must take care of their children as they were are created to do, and so they must do what God has called them to do, so that we can go back to what needs to be done. And the men need to provide and protect the children, and the women birth and nurture the children, and that makes up the family. Every husband should have own wife, and every wife should have own husband. And then we should go back with our children and take them back out of the hands of the enemies. Until we do that, then that's the solution. We will not be where we need to be as the chosen people of God. I'm talking to all the Israelites from the tribe of line of Judah, and that are descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God bless.
Well, God bless you. Thank you so much. And
Uncle Darva, love you much.
We'll certainly we'll certainly keep you in our prayers as you make these decisions. Absolutely. And leadership, you know, stepping up to leadership, that is a great commitment, but that means you intend to
get you emotionally. Run.
Absolutely. Do what your heart tells you to do. That's right. Okay. 863-816. Grand Rising. Introduce yourself.
Just real quick, L.A., Central Florida. Where I keep my emotions, I guess, balanced, is if I come across a tough situation or anything like that, or personality, I just think back, you know, let's say now, I look at those ancestors coming over on that slave ship when I can't even imagine what they went through. So wherever they went through, my life and anybody I know, we have no problem. So if I think I'm having a bad day or anything like that, I just think back to those people on that slave ship, and I have their DNA. So if they were strong enough to get through that, I don't have any problem. So I'll land my plane there.
Thank you so much, L.A. Yeah, good to put things in perspective for sure. Could be worse, yes. 779-801. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your question or comment for Dr. Debbie Green. Go right ahead.
Grand Rising, good morning, ladies. This is Maika. And I have a question. I was looking at Criminal Minds, and somebody made a statement. They were in prison. They said, we're all psychopaths in here. And they spoke about the brain not being stimulated. And my question comes up is that how a psychopath is created, as a result of non-stimulation of the brain? And if so, does that mean that most of the black people are psychopaths, and that we fill so many jails up and have so little brain stimulation in terms of math and science and what have you?
Interesting.
I don't have statistics on that, Maika, so I don't want to quote something, but I can tell you this. A person is a factor, how a person's makeup is as far as mentally, emotionally, spiritually, is based upon several factors. It's genetically, okay, it's genetically, environmentally, and also influenced, which is by our external stimuli, such as social media, people, places, and things. And if there's any unrest, instability in any of those things, that it, that permeates a person's mind. Now, you said psychopath, so think about what psychopathic means.
That please means explain.
It affects the mental capacities of that person to make choices, to make healthy choices based upon life survival. So if they're psychotic, they cannot do that. In other words, it's that their actions and behaviors will actually present themselves as being unhealthy, self-destructive, as well self-defeating, self-sabotaging. So if they've done that on a period of time, that's a person that is dysfunctional. Their brain is dysfunctional. It takes a healthy brain that is flowing with dopamine, serotonin, endorphins, neurotransmitters. Everything has to be healthy mentally. Think about a computer. I'm going to say this real quick. Think about a computer. If a computer is healthy, it does not have a virus. But if the computer does have a virus, it's not healthy. So it starts to, you know, do different things. So the brain is the same way. The brain, with its unhealthy brain, it becomes impulsive and dangerous to that person and to another human being. No, ma'am, we were not born that way.
Yeah.
We were not born that way.
No, but is that what the prisons are creating, psychopaths? Can we say that? I know we don't have statistics, but...
That's not... I can tell you that's not true. They're not creating anything that was not already there. They probably... is permeating it, which means impacting what has already been there. If a person was already in a fear-based mind, if they don't know how to handle their own fear, then they don't know how to handle their emotions. It's going to keep up. I want that to be a maximum. So, I want that for 1 year. And most people have a lot of solitude in prison, believe it or not, because they know that they're going to be there for a period of time. They're either going to be reckless or they're going to be calm in those gray shaded areas. If they're in there for whatever reason, be it murder, you know, some form of criminal act that they did, they're in there. They're in there for life. So this is where they live. They're not going anywhere. Why would they make themselves uncomfortable if they know they're not going to be there? Okay, that's logical thought. Now, you do have some individuals who don't care about nobody and nothing. Okay, and those are psychopathic individuals. But guess what? They're walking the earth, too. They ain't in there, just so you know.
But thank you for that question, Maika. We're going to be exploring that. We're going to have in a couple of weeks and I've got some people, Dr. Debbie, see if we can have them on your show who are coming out of prison, and they were describing being in a 8x10 cell with just concrete walls, no stimulation. You know what that did to them emotionally, psychologically. But we'll talk about that, and we'll schedule that on an upcoming show. So thank you so much for that question, Maika, and I think we've got time for another caller. 773-737 Grand Rising. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts.
Well, hallelujah. Greetings, Global Transformers. This is Mama G, Wisdom with Mama G, on this Saturday, noon to 2 p.m. We're going to be dealing with an emotional subject. Is anything wrong with being homosexual. So I want you all to tune in. I grew up in the Jim Crow genocide days when children were to be seen and not heard, and women were inferior to men, just like the children were. And as girls, we had to wait on our brothers. It was a woman, obey your husband, like the slave obeyed their master. And men were not supposed to express emotion because a man ain't supposed to cry. But I always said, well, why do they have tear ducts if they wasn't supposed to cry? So I want to ask Dr. Green, what happens when men have these generational curses of suppressing their emotions and suppressing in the rearing of children? They beat you, they're whipping you, and then they say, I'll give you something to cry for. You already got nothing to cry for. You're in pain. And they're just whipping away and saying, shut your mouth up, and daring you to cry. Has anybody had that experience? Would you address that?
That was insanity, yes. Thank you, Mama D.
apparently that, again, this is the upbringing, but then we can go take it a little bit further. We can go all the way back to the 1800s, ma'am.
Mm.
Well, like I said, when, you know, a person, well, we're going to address them as a slave because we're talking back then, when a slave was actually tormented by its tormentor, and was asked to shut up and not say a word.
Mm.
Okay, so that then permeates through the genealogy of our black people. And again, they didn't get the opportunity to self-advocate. Let's go back all the way back to the 1800s. Now, you can tell Master what you were thinking.
Mm-mm.
A Master would get angry and he would hurt you.
Mm.
So what you had to do, you had to suppress. We came from a suppressed nation. Okay, let me prove my point. We came from a suppressed nation. So lo and behold, as our generation, the ones that made it ashore, okay, that made it ashore, which is our African Americans, that's what rap came from. Because guess what? We were told to be quiet so long. We were suppressed. We didn't self-advocate. So all of a sudden, when our descendants started talking, they couldn't stop.
Mm.
So we call it rap, right?
Mm-hmm.
You gonna rap? No, when the people just talking, you ain't singing no more. You saying something.
Mm-hmm.
So now rap is the same thing. It's been distorted since then because people don't take it seriously. But when it first came out, people were talking like Queen Latifah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Unity. Like you know the
yeah.
good rap, the holy.
Yes.
Rap.
Yes.
You know, we still have it underground. We
yes.
call it holy hip hop.
Yes.
Okay?
Holy
hip hop. What I'm saying is those. All that came from years, eons of suppression. So here we go. Here we go. Fast forward. The young black male from the ages, ma'am, of 10 years old all the way to 30. Suppression. Suppression.
Mm-hmm.
And so the parents, because they don't understand this concept me and you talking about, they still tell them to suppress. Be quiet. Sit down.
Shut
don't
up.
Say a word. Okay, but then when are you going to say, can you tell me what you feel today? Tell me what's good. Tell me what's wrong. Every time I'm so tired of parents asking that question. What's wrong? What's wrong? And when the child tells you what's wrong, you
get
mad. Something wrong. Because they say, well, I don't like you. Well, why don't you like me? What do you mean? I take care of you. I feed you. What kind of stuff is that? Oh, you disrespectful. No, it's not. Ask your child why they don't like you.
Mm.
It may be something you need to change.
Yes.
So they don't self-advocate. They don't allow freedom. So like you said, a man is not supposed to cry. He's supposed to be hard. He's supposed to be this. Where did that come from? Again,
yeah.
We go back to the 1800s.
Yeah. Suppression. So much unhealthiness. So much in our culture.
So now it's
wow.
festered, ma'am. You know how they express themselves? With a gun.
That's
I'm
it.
I'm going to leave it right there.
That's it. Thank you, Mama D, and we got to tune in on Saturday. This is
Help
it.
Us.
Yes, so we will be there, and I think we can squeeze in 773-977. You got about 30 seconds. Go for it. Go ahead. Give us your
good
question
morning. Or comment. Good morning. Good morning. Yes, thank God for everyone today. This is we are talking about things that happened from the 1800s and happening here in 2022. We have to just know 2022 is a good year for all of us. The only difference between the white man or male sleeping in that 8x10 jail cell for years is that when they are released, they come out with a Social Security check already in place. When that black male or female is released, they come out with a black pair of pants, a white shirt, and car fare. And they're dependent upon their families, friends, loved ones to support them. Most of the time, they're not supported, and they steal, and they go back to jail. So we haven't given our black people the right that the white people have always had. If the whites come out with a Social Security check, then the blacks should come out with a Social Security check. Thank you all so much for this time, and we really need to get back into this conversation at a later date. God bless you all, and I love you. Bye.
Love you, too, Lois. Thank you so much for calling. Well, Dr. Debbie, we've had some folks express some thoughts. We got a few moments for your last words of wisdom.
I just want to let everybody know, please, 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 stop having some self-awareness. Self-awareness is just what it is. What am I thinking? What am I doing with my life? Not just in your career or in your family, but have self-awareness with you. You know, the worst thing to do is raise a child with no self-awareness. If it doesn't have any self-awareness, that means it's going to allow anything to happen at any time, and it will never self-advocate for itself. It will find itself as a victim in life. So when your children want to say something to you, you let them know, hey, mommy wants to hear you. Daddy wants to hear you. Whether I agree with it or not, I still want to hear what you have to say. I don't be afraid to tell me if you think it's going to hurt my feelings or make me angry, because it won't. Because I want you to feel comfortable talking. Because if you don't feel comfortable talking, you're going to stop talking. You're going to stop advocating. When you get older, you're going to have to say something. It may be something that's going to save your life. So allow your children to have an open floor mentality. An open floor, which means not whatever goes, but give them their platform. Give them their platform. You'll never regret it. From the ages of when they can start talking to the ages of when they don't longer. All you're doing is training them how to be independent, self-organized, self-manageable people.
Well, all right. There you go. Well, you've heard it here. And keep on listening. You know, you got to come back tomorrow for Health and Well-Being with Viata right here on the Female Solution Global Radio TV. Always sharing wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. These are some fantastic sisters that are helping us heal. So we'll see you back here tomorrow. And until that time, continue to shine your light.
Yeah.
And we didn't get to you this morning. Come on back tomorrow.
We've come to the end of our show today. But you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Xiexie. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany,
Danke. Poland. Dziękuję. France. Merci. Spain. Gracias. Italy. Grazie. Egypt. Shukran. Ghana. Medasi. Nigeria. Eshe. South Africa. Ngiyabonga. Senegal. Geret. Kenya. Asante. Israel. Toda. Pakistan. Shukriya. Afghanistan. Tashakur. Saudi Arabia. Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessing.